Last week we did part one of this message. Tonight is part two, Oceans of Emotions. We talked about our bodies as women and the cycle and that kind of thing. We talked about all of those oceans of emotions. We're going to continue on tonight. There are two things that we can do to prepare for these turbulent emotions. One, they're both very, very important, but one of them is vital for our survival and for victory. The first one is just practical, physical preparation, because the more we gain understanding, like we did last week, and that was just nothing in comparison to how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. But the more we understand our body and we understand how it works and the cycle and all of that, that is extremely helpful. Now, I mentioned last week that it would be a good idea to chart your cycle for 2 to 3 months. For those of us who are beyond that, then we're beyond that. But we have more charts out there if you didn't get one last week. And do your own research and understand so you're ready. So you know, it amazes me that there are still girls and women who get surprised every month. It's like they just never knew. They're in a bad mood. They're having all these oceans of emotions. They don't know what's wrong and everything. They start their period and then it dawns on them. It just amazes me. If you keep track, it's just a simple little thing, you know, and I taught my girls, you keep track. And if they didn't, I did. I wanted to know when it was coming, you know, and, you just keep track. You just know. And I know that a lot of us are free spirits and we just, whatever be, will be. Well, if you want to get stuck and surprised, then go right ahead. But I like to know what's going on and be prepared. So you can do that for sure. That's a very practical thing to prepare for. And then also realize that in your family, if your mom has not, you know, she's pretty even keel. Obviously, your dad has no clue, really. He hasn't walked in your shoes. So if those people in your family, husband, has not walked in your shoes, and you wonder month after month, why isn't he getting this? You know, he's not going to get it. But you have to communicate, and you have to have realistic expectations, because nobody feels what you are feeling. When we feel those feelings, we assume everybody knows how we're feeling because we think it's right, you know, it's just written all over us. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it isn't. And other people have no clue, no clue whatsoever. So communication is so good. I talked to my girls, it was very open. I talked to my grandchildren, it's very, very open. And I tried to teach my girls and that, you know, to be prepared so that when they do have that week where they're feeling all those things, it may be reality because you're feeling all of those things, but it's really not truth. Because again, if you didn't feel fat yesterday and you feel fat today, you're probably really not fat. You're going to be okay tomorrow. Or if you're not, you know, down in the dumps yesterday and you're down in the dumps today, you're going to get over it. It's not forever. Here's a real practical thing. Just do not plan too much the week before your period. And there you go. You got to know when that's going to be. But you remember we talked about planning the party in week one because we've got all that energy and everything. Well, plan the party for week one. Don't plan the party for week four because you're going to want to cancel. And I don't know how many of you, I used to do that quite often until it finally dawned on me. Hello, do not plan anything, because I would plan something and I'd think, you know what, I don't really want to talk to anybody today. I don't. And it's probably best that I don't talk to anybody today, you know? So know that ahead of time and know your limitations. Know, you know what? I'm probably going to be tired and maybe a little cranky that week. So let's have dinner the following week, or let's do whatever the following week. Reduce stress as much as possible, if that is possible in the day that, in which we live. But try to reduce, don't add to it. Don't add stress to your life. Reduce stress. This is one that nobody wants to hear and nobody wants to do, but avoid caffeine, chocolate, and sugar. Those three things make everything worse. We think they make them better, but it really does. It has an effect on our bodies, and it does make us worse. Drink a lot of water. Water is very good. It's a very practical thing that we can do, but it's very helpful. Exercising. You don't feel like exercising, but it actually gets everything moving and everything going, and it's just a physical, practical thing that we can do. Eat healthy. Try to eat real food and not food that when you look on the ingredients, you can't pronounce those words. It's not going to be real food. Our bodies are affected by what we eat. You are what you eat. You know, so try to get healthier. I mean, there's plenty of information out there for you to know how to get healthy and eat good. Make more time for quiet and rest and peace in your home or in your life. Again, and then here is a very practical one, and it's just like a something that we know but we don't do, and that is get more sleep. Get more sleep. You know how when you have a 2-year-old and they are whining and complaining, and you just, you know, what do they need? They need a nap. You lay them down for a nap, they wake up a new child. Not always, but, you know. And it's the same thing with us as big girls. We need to sleep. And there was a lot of times where I would tell my girls, you just need to go to bed. You just need to go to bed. It's all going to be different tomorrow. And then I would tell myself, I didn't need to go to bed. This is just getting worse. Just need to go to bed. Just go to bed early. And it's amazing how much sleep can help you. If you are extreme and you think, well, this is just not this normal cycle. This is a little bit extreme here. Then find a doctor. Find somebody who can help you. Because there are a lot of other reasons for oceans of emotions. We know that. There is the monthly cycle that all women go through. Some women have the emotions about this much, some this much, some this much. That is a normal thing. But when some things are out of whack, then it's very severe. We might need some help. Lots of other reasons too. Circumstances affect our emotions. Circumstances change. I mean, there are good circumstances, there are bad circumstances. The bad ones, they're gonna hit us and make us emotional. We know that. I mean, we can go up and down because of a circumstance in our life. Relationships, that can make us very emotional. When there's conflict, when there's, you know, arguing, or when there's, I don't think that person likes me, or that person's being mean to me, or you and your husband aren't getting along, or you and your children aren't getting along, or whatever it might be. Boy, do we have lots of emotions as moms with our children. Just all kinds of oceans of emotions. Trials, just regular trials in our lives. Little ones and big ones. They mess with our emotions. Illness. When you get sick, you get more emotional because your body is tired and it's weak and it's trying to fight off the illness, and you can get emotional over that. And then there's the biggie, and that's warfare. Warfare is very real, very real. And we have an enemy who isn't just out to ruin our day, but to destroy us. And I do not understand how all the spiritual realm works, but I do know that the enemy can shoot his fiery darts. And for women, a lot of times those darts land right here in the mind, in the thoughts so that our thoughts get confused and we start thinking things. And then when we think things, we feel these things. And then it just snowballs and gets out of control. So all kinds of reasons for emotional ups and downs other than your monthly cycle. And then, as I said, there are legitimate physiological conditions that can produce unreasonable emotions and emotions that are out of control, mood swings and things like that. Severe hormone imbalance, where your hormones are just going crazy. And some of us have experienced that. It is no fun at all. It's very real. Very real. And where you feel like you have no control. It doesn't have anything to do with your cycle. You're just totally out of whack. You can get postpartum depression or everything. Chemical brain imbalance where you can be pretty severe. But you might want to go seek some help. Find a doctor, a good doctor, a health practitioner who can help you, who can give you proper diagnosis, not just treat your symptoms, but who will listen to you. And you may have to go to more than one doctor to find one who will listen to you and not just go, okay, I'm just going to hold that thought and move on. There are very good doctors out there, but you have to search and you have to find them. And God has given you wisdom, and He's given you His Holy Spirit, who will let you know if this is what you're supposed to do or you're not supposed to do. And as Christians, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit and not just listen to what we are being told. I really dislike bringing this up, but I feel like I have to because it's such a huge thing among women and their emotions. And that is, there are a lot of doctors who the first thing they want to do is give you an antidepressant. And that is not always the answer. Okay? It's so acceptable now that we think it's not a big deal and we don't understand the full things. And there are things, the doctors, they don't dig deep enough to truly find the diagnosis. So again, there's lots of good doctors, but you have to find them. I've been to quite a few to find one who will listen and who will really dig and find out what's going on. This whole thing with antidepressants in the United States over the last two decades, the overall use of them has increased 400%. That's alarming. That is alarming. And partly that, well, maybe not even partly, maybe mainly, that is the reason is because the antidepressant Prozac came on the market in 1987. And up until that point, only psychiatrists prescribed antidepressants, and a psychiatrist is a medical doctor who has then got a PhD and studied the brain, studied the human makeup, the emotions, everything, so that they could properly prescribe these very powerful antidepressants. Well, when Prozac came on, there were fewer side effects with those and some other antidepressants to where then your regular family doctors was able to prescribe these very powerful medications. And they prescribed them for headaches, for insomnia, for fatigue, for all kinds of things. And you know, it's scary. It's scary to me because you want somebody who's a specialist. You want somebody who really knows what they're talking about, who has studied it thoroughly to give you a proper diagnosis. And not just here, you have a headache, here you have, you know, you're tired, you have chronic fatigue, you have whatever it might be, kind of a thing. And I have a lot of experience with that because I've had many doctors, first thing they want to do is put me on an antidepressant. And this last one, which was 2 years ago, I think, because I have a thyroid thing, he wanted to lower my thyroid, put me on an antidepressant. Had he done that, I would not be standing here. You wouldn't recognize me because that's not my problem. So my other doctor raised my thyroid and bingo, it just helped. You know, so we can be desperate. We really can be desperate with our emotions. You can be desperate as a mom if you have an emotional daughter and you just want her fixed because you can't deal with it anymore. But that may not be the answer. 1 in 10 people over the age of 12 in the United States are on antidepressants. 1 in 10. And the majority of those are women in their 40s and 50s. Why? You hit menopause and you go nuts, and then there you go. That's your answer, but it's not the answer. About 1 in 25 children ages 12 to 17 are on antidepressants, and then there's an alarming rate of children under 12. And it's very sad because a lot of times, I'm not saying that there are legitimate people, reasons why certain people need to have them. And I'm not saying throw them away, don't go on. I'm not saying that at all. Does everybody know that I am not saying that? Just saying be educated. That shouldn't be the first thing because they will mask the symptoms. And if I had gone on them years ago when the first person wanted to put me on them for a headache, and then you read the side effects, headache, well, that makes a lot of sense. I'm not a doctor, but that just didn't make sense to me. It would have masked my symptoms, and I would not have gotten the help that I got. It's not easy. If you are severe with this, it's not easy. One time I was giving this similar message last year on the East Coast, and I had a lady come up to me. I mean, she was just crying because doctor after doctor after doctor has told her she's nuts. And she needs to go on an antidepressant. And she didn't think she did. And then she started, she's listening. And the Lord is speaking to her and giving her direction, you know. And now she feels like she's okay. I've been rescued. I've been saved. You know, the Lord is amazing. He will speak to us. Not that we don't need doctors. We need doctors. But, oh, his wisdom is so high and so great. And we don't want to just mask things. We want to get to the root of the problem. And we want to give the Lord a chance to work. It would have been much easier for me to take a pill and not have to deal with emotions. But I didn't. And I went through, if you want to, I mean, it was not fun. But what I learned, and I know the power of God. You can't trade that. You cannot trade that for anything. So, few physical things that we can do. Then there's the most important spiritually. What can we do? I mean, that's the answer. Yeah, we need our bodies fixed. We need to come into balance. But this is the answer. He is the answer. And this is daily practice. This is your daily dose. This Bible right here, the Word. And it's a lifelong practice. And we have to remember that God is God. He remains the same. He does not change, and His word is true, and it remains the same regardless of how I feel. Okay? Doesn't matter how I feel or what I'm thinking, His word's right. His word is true, and so His power and His equipping for my life that is promised throughout the Bible is the same. It's no less in my life when I am going through oceans of emotions, when I'm depressed, when I'm hanging on by a thread, when I feel like the world's crashing in on me. His power is no less then in my life than it is on a good day. It doesn't matter what emotional state I'm in. His word is true and His Holy Spirit is powerful in me. And I have to believe that. You have to believe that because that's where it begins. Because if you don't believe it, you will believe a lie. And what is the lie? The lie is what your flesh is telling you. The lie is what the world is telling you and what the devil is telling you. And then you can't help it. And that you just give in to it. And those things, they're all lie. No, I have power to overcome this. When we believe a lie, we begin to act on it. We live that lie out because that's what we believe, because belief determines your behavior. What you believe in is how you live. So if I don't believe that God can, wants to, and will give me the power to walk in the Spirit and not be in control of my emotions, if I don't believe that, then what's going to happen? I'm just going to give in to Him. If I don't believe God is God and I don't believe the power of the Holy Spirit, then I'm just going to do what I want to do and give in to every kind of feeling that's within me. And the enemy wants us to believe his lie. And our flesh is fairly willing to believe that because it sounds easy. He wants us to believe you're different. You hear what she's saying, but she's talking to everyone else. You're different. I'm different. My problem is too big. It's too hard. You don't understand my problem and how big. There is something wrong with me. It's beyond the power of God. So it's okay. I can't help it. I have to give in. I don't have any control and I'm not responsible. Those are lies. Those are lies of the enemy and lies of our flesh. Because he's given us the power. God is still God, and again, his power is no less when I feel weak, when I feel desperate, when I feel out of control, when I feel depressed and emotional. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Peter, please, chapter 1, verse 3. Second Peter 1, verse 3, it tells us that his divine power has, past tense, already has, given to us all, and that means all things that pertain to life and godliness. Just in that one little tiny verse, we have been promised the power and every bit of equipping we need to overcome anything in our lives. We're fully equipped to walk in the Spirit and to not give in to the way that we feel, to not react to the way that we feel. And I can get very passionate over this message because it's the truth. It is the truth of God's word, and I have experienced it over and over and over again. I want to give in to my flesh just as much as you do at a time like that. I feel overcome. There were times where I was so overcome with emotion. I was so tired. I wasn't sleeping. I'm so tired. I'm so fatigued. I couldn't get out of the chair. I don't want to talk to anybody. all of those things. I don't want to teach a Bible study. I don't want to lead worship. I don't want to do any of that. I feel like a hypocrite. I feel horrible. I feel. And I know the power of God. And I am not saying this to make myself more spiritual than anybody or to say, oh, here I am, the big example. Look at me. This is real. This is very real to me. I know my God. And I know what I have overcome because of him. And I know that you're no different. You're no different. You can overcome. 2 Timothy 1:7. That says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound or a disciplined mind. You may not feel like you have a sound or a disciplined mind, but he's telling us that we do. And we must believe that verse and the one in Peter and let that truth and believe in that and then let that determine our behavior. Let that determine our life. No, he's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. No, I have a sound mind. And then the other part of you says, no, you don't. And then you say, yes, I do. You rise up. It's the word of God, and you have to believe that. Now, let me tell you this. When you do that, and when you obey that, and when you really believe that, and you really live that, it doesn't mean the feeling's going to go away. And that stinks. You overcome the feeling. You overrule the feeling with the truth of God's word and obedience. One day the feeling may go away. If it's from the enemy, it's going to go away. If there's an actual physiological problem with you, it may not go away because you might need help elsewhere. But it is the truth. Reading the word of God, believing the word of God, knowing the word of God, and obeying the word of God is where we begin on anything in our life. And you know this illustration that when airline pilots are being trained, they are taught to not go by their feelings. They are taught to go by the instrument panel. Because the instrument panel is all programmed in there and it doesn't have feelings. It's not going to change depending on how it feels. The pilot is human. And so in flying, and of course I'm not an airline pilot and so I haven't experienced this, but you can get vertigo. You can think you're flying one way and the instrument panel's telling you something different. They are trained. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by what you think. Follow the instrument panel. This word is our instrument panel. So it doesn't matter how I'm feeling, but I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way. What does the instrument panel tell you? What does the truth of God's word tell you? 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by how I feel. And this world today, it's all about how you feel. And you need to be happy. And if you're not happy, you do whatever it takes to be happy. That is not the Christian life at all. It's not how you feel. It is not how you feel. Sometimes we are so used to feeling the way that we do with different emotions, and we're used to reacting the same way. If I get mad, this is what I do. If I get irritated, this is what I do. If I get hurt, this is what I do. You know, all of that, we all react differently on those emotions. But a lot of times it's habit. It's what we know to do. And we are, we're familiar with that, and so we're comfortable with that. In a little booklet that was written years ago, it says, the longer we think along any given line, the stronger that thought pattern becomes. And every time we react in a certain way, we reinforce the thought pattern. and then you're building a habit. So you do something once, you react one way, the next time you react the same way, it's reinforcing that reaction, that behavior, and it becomes a habit. This happens, this is what I do. That happens, this is what I do. And then it makes me feel comfortable because that's what I'm familiar with now. And we all like to be comfortable, we like to be secure. So it may be wrong what we're doing, but we have security in it. In Jay Adams' book, Godliness Through Discipline, he states that it takes at least 3 weeks of proper daily effort for one to feel comfortable in performing a new practice. And then it takes about 3 weeks more to make that practice part of oneself. So you're developing a new habit, but it's discipline. So if I say, okay, I'm not going to react that way, it's not going to happen overnight. That is going to become part of me. It's habit. So I want to produce godly habits in my life. I want to produce the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man. That's the habit I want to make as a Christian. I want to automatically, when my flesh rises up, I want to, this is my habit. No. Yes, Lord. No, yes, Lord, that's my habit that I want to start. It's not going to happen overnight. It has to be repetitive, but good behavior. We must submit our will to God's will, and that's not easy. If you are strong-willed, I don't know how many strong-willed people we have in here. I mean, everybody has a will. Everybody has, you know, certain areas where they are stronger than the other, but yielding our lives and surrendering our lives to the Lord doesn't come naturally and it doesn't come easily because we have a flesh that we fight with all the time. But that's where victory comes in, is when I do submit my will to the Lord. And I've said this several times, but I'll say it again. My life verse is Luke 1:38, and that is when Mary said, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your will." It speaks of surrender, her surrendering her life. Why? Because I have such a problem with that. I'm very strong-willed. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to do what you want me to do or what's going to make me uncomfortable. And so daily I have to surrender to the Lord continually. I want to. The spirit is willing. The flesh can be weak. I want to read something to you out of this book. It's by Hannah Whittall Smith, The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. Excellent, excellent, excellent book. It's written way back when, so it's kind of has old English, but they haven't abridged, but don't get that. She leaves too many good things out. But this is very, very important. And I don't know how many times I've read this, and every time I read it, I'm like, yes! Wow, that's so right. It is so true. She says that she's talking about the will, the emotions and the will. She said, "The truth is that this life is not to be lived in the emotions at all, but in the will, this Christian life. And therefore, if only the will is kept steadfastly abiding in its center, God's will, the varying states of emotion do not in the least disturb or affect the reality of life." And that's so true, because if I keep my will in the center of God's, then it doesn't matter how I'm feeling. It doesn't affect that. By the will, I do not mean the wish of the man or even his purpose, but the deliberate choice, the deciding power, the king to which all that is in the man must yield obedience. Choice. We have a choice. Every single day, every single moment, with every single emotion, we can choose. For the decisions of our will are often so directly opposed to the decisions of our emotions that if we were in the habit of considering our emotions as the test, we shall be very apt to feel like hypocrites in declaring those things to be real, which our will alone has decided. But the moment we see that the will is king, we shall utterly disregard anything that clamors against it and shall claim as real its decisions and let the emotions rebel as they may. That's the attitude of heart we need to have. That's submitting to the Lord. Your will. I want to put my will in line with your will. Let my emotions rebel as they may. I shan't listen to them at all. That's how we are to live. Sooner or later, those emotions would be compelled to come into harmony. Lifelong practice. Lifelong practice doesn't ever go away. I can't say that it gets easier, but it gets easier in the sense of it's habit. This is what, because you're going to have the battle, but you now know what to do, and you're used to overcoming, and you won't settle for less, and you're just going to keep on keeping on. The will is like a wise mother in a nursery. The feelings are like a set of clamoring, crying children. Good picture, right? The will is the mom in the nursery, and the feelings are the little whiny little kids, okay? The mother makes up her mind to a certain course of action, which she believes to be right and best. The children clamor against it and declare it shall not be. And that's what our emotions do when we decide, no, this is right, I'm going to obey the Lord. The children, those emotions rise up immediately. But the mother, knowing that she is mistress and not they, pursues her course lovingly and calmly in spite of all their clamors. And the result is that the children are sooner or later won over to the mother's course of action, and they fall in with her decisions, and all is harmonious and happy. But if that mother should for a moment let in the thought that the children were masters instead of herself, confusion would reign unchecked. And in how many souls at this very moment is there nothing but confusion simply because the feelings are allowed to govern instead of the will? It is so true. That is just such a good picture of my will and my emotions. And if I give in to my emotions, they're going to get stronger. It's the new man, it's the inner man, it's the spirit man that's going to rise up and say no. And you know that analogy, you have the two dogs, you have the white dog, you have the black dog. Whichever dog you feed the most is going to be stronger. And I want to starve the flesh, starve the emotion, and feed the new man. You know that old saying, you can't prevent a bird from flying in your hair, but you can prevent it from making a nest there. So the emotions are going to happen. Those thoughts and those feelings are still, you're still going to battle them, but they don't have to settle in and make themselves at home. They need to be the oddball. They need to be unwelcome guests, not even a guest, an unwelcome enemy in your life. And so you can, by bringing thoughts into captivity and your feelings and you're submitting your will to the Lord, you can prevent those emotions from ruling you and allow the Lord and His Holy Spirit to be in control, in charge of your life. And we have to practice that. We have to practice bringing our thoughts into captivity, bringing those emotions into captivity on good days. We cannot wait until we're falling apart. You know, you can't wait till you're in a crisis. You have to do it every single day on good days. Bring those thoughts into captivity. Don't let your mind wander off. Don't dwell on those. Don't start talking to your emotions and your feelings. You really do feel that way, don't you? Oh, I know. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Remember, you have to make a good habit. So whether that emotion, that feeling is anger, is self-pity, is depression, is, you know, whatever it might be, your will needs to choose to rule over them. And the power of the Holy Spirit is very real, very real, very available to us. You know, God is a loving Father, and He's not in heaven looking at us and going, oh, there she goes again, those emotions of, I wish I could help. He says, oh, my daughter, here's my Holy Spirit. Here's my word. I'm giving you instruction. I'm giving you the power to overcome. He is there to pour these things out on us. We need to receive. We need to choose. We need to walk in them. Psalm 42, in two different verses, the psalmist, he talks to himself. He exhorts himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. We need to exhort ourselves. What is your problem today? Get over it. Move on. I know you feel like that. And I know that feeling is very real. But this is what God's word says. You, on a good day, you need to pick some verses. You have the Lord lead you in his word to pick those promises and those verses that will strengthen you. And then you pull them out on those days and say, no, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. So the psalmist, he's challenging himself. He's challenging his feelings and his mood. And he's saying, no, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. So very practically, three things that we do, and we need to live like this all the time. This is a habit that we need to do. And that is when the thought or the feeling, the emotion, whatever it might be, comes upon us and we're feeling, you know, taken by it, we need to stop right there. Don't go any further. Just stop. And then you need to redirect it. Redirect the thought, redirect the feeling, and then replace it. Replace it with the word of God. That's when you need those promises. So you stop, you redirect, and you replace. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think on whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's anything virtuous and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So you replace those thoughts with good things, with the word of God, with the worship songs that we love. There are three that I sing almost every night when I hit my head on the pillow and am awake for an hour and a half. I don't fall asleep. And then, you know, when you don't fall asleep, your mind's going, and so I'm bringing it back around every single night. And there's three songs that I sing. I love them, and I mean them, and I sing them over and over and over and over and over. And then I fall asleep. The Christian life isn't a bunch of don't, but it's do, it's do, it's do. Fill your mind with good things. Fill your heart. Feed your spirit with good things. And so when those thoughts and those feelings, again, when they don't match the word of God, then you stop, you redirect, and you replace. Now, those three little things, it's very simple. Stop, redirect, replace. Stop, redirect, replace. Very simple, but it's not easy. It's not easy. It isn't. It is a battle. For some of us, it's more of a battle than others. Some of you can sit here and you just think this is, boy, I feel sorry for those women who are battling like that. Maybe you will go through it one day, maybe you won't. But my experience in talking with women, more women battle these kind of things than don't. So it's simple, but it's not easy. Again, it is a lifelong practice. And, you know, you're not a hypocrite when you feel one way, depression, or whatever it might be. Typically, it's depression when you're just depressed. You're depressed. And now I have to go out and I have to be with people and I have to do this and I have to teach Sunday school and I have to whatever you have to do. And I have to be nice and I don't feel like being nice and I'm going to be nice and then you're nice and then you feel like a hypocrite. Is that hypocrisy? No, it isn't. That's called obedience. That's called, I want to honor the Lord. Hypocrisy is when you don't like someone and you purposely go up and say lies to them and you're telling them things, just nice gushy things, and you're in your heart, you're just like, you blah 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 blah, but you're coming, you know, that's a hypocrite. Come on. It's not being a hypocrite when I don't feel like doing whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to do it anyway because I want to honor the Lord, because He told me in His word, this is how I'm supposed to be. And I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, I want the fruit of Your Spirit to flow through my life. So I need the power of Your Holy Spirit here to talk to this person, to say this, to give me the strength to do this or whatever it might be. And don't let the enemy tell you you're a hypocrite. Don't let anybody else. You're not. Lord, I'm pleasing You. You know my heart. Nobody else does. Nobody. God knows your heart. He knows how hard you try. He knows that you want to please Him. He knows. He knows. And He's going to give you victory. Colossians 3:2 says in the New Living Translation, let heaven fill your thoughts. I love that. And I pray that. Lord, I want heaven to fill my thoughts today, because right now my thoughts are filled with a bunch of other garbage. I don't want that garbage in my mind. I don't want to feel like this. I want heaven to fill my thoughts. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to You. Those are the things we say to the Lord. He honors those. So we need to renew our mind constantly. Constantly be thinking on the heavenly things, thinking on spiritual things. We need to seek the Lord, be in constant communication with Him all the time. Read His word. Don't let a day go by without reading His word. Turn on the worship music or just sing to the Lord. And let your thoughts be directed that way. Put in Bible studies. Put them on your iPods, CDs, whatever. Listen. Fill your mind. Listen to the Word of God, even if you don't feel like it. And fellowship. You know, we tend to want to withdraw. And when we really need the prayer is when we don't pick up the phone and ask, because we don't want to talk to anybody. We need to force ourselves to do that. Force ourselves to come and be around people who can encourage and point you to the Lord. There's no magic pill. None. And there's no quick fix for any of this. It is a lifestyle of yielding, of submitting, and obeying God's word and His will. But by His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And by faith, I am believing and his word, and it is true, and I'm going to act upon that, and I'm going to have victory. I have experienced it over and over and over again. It's very real. And I know many women who have experienced the same thing, and you can too. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and if you have questions about that, if you can talk with your group leader, you can talk with me. If you need prayer for any of this, there are women who would love to pray for you and to pray with you. So get prayer from either your leader or someone here tonight. We're going to try to get into groups here. So a lot of information, a lot that the Lord can speak to your heart. Speak to your heart and then put into practice, and your life can be changed. Not going to be easy. Not going to be easy, but it's going to be great because you're going to know the power of God. You're going to have, you're going to have something with him that other people don't have, because you're going to commune with him in those times, and you're going to experience that. There is no price tag. No price tag. I would not want to relive anything in my life like that ever. I wish I wouldn't have gone through it, except the fact that I have learned so much, and I've learned that you can't budge me. It's true. It's true. And his power is real and true. And I could go on and on all night, and I won't. So I'm going to pray and then we'll dismiss. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word, the truth of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would take what was from you tonight, Lord. If there was things for me, throw it away and help them to just forget about it. And Lord, those things that are from you, that you would plant them deep within hearts tonight. And I pray that each one of these women, especially those who struggle, will cling to you and will take these things and apply them to her life, and that you would give victory, Lord. Thank you that you do. Thank you that you love, and your grace and your mercy, and just on and on and on. Thank you and praise you. Pray that you would bless the women in their groups tonight, Lord. Help that be iron sharpening iron discussion, and help them to encourage one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you so much for bearing with me the last 2 weeks. And just in case you needed it, there will be chocolate out on the table when you're dismissed.